Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for June 23rd, 2015. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Dan O'Brien, Extension Ag Economist at Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. We'll get the latest crop progress statistics for the week just ended for key Corn Belt states. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Here's how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon. Hard red winter July wheat, 530 and a quarter up 18 and a quarter. September, 539 and three quarters up 18 and three quarters. Soft July wheat, 521 and a half up 20 and a quarter. September, 527 up 21. July corn settled at 367 and a half up 7 and a half. September, 372 up 7 and three quarters. December, 381 and a quarter up 7 and three quarters. July of 16, 405 and a quarter up 6 and three quarters. July soybeans, 987 and a half. They were down 2. September, 961 and a quarter up a quarter. November, 960 and three quarters up 1 and a half. July soybean meal, 331.90 down 170. July soybean oil, 32.82 down 10 cents. Now some last trades. June live cattle, 151.60 down 85. August feeders, 225.20, they're down 57 and a half. And then July lean hogs, 74.40, they're up 17 and a half. And those are last trades and settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says that the U.S. Midwest crop will see drier weather again today, but more moderate to locally heavy rain will fall in lower parts of the region late Wednesday into Friday. Flooding is still underway on many rivers and streams following the past week of excessive rainfall, and crops in low-lying areas need significant drying. Soft wheat in the lower Midwest has likely suffered some quality declines because of recent wet weather. Temperatures in the U.S. Midwest, Great Plains, Delta, and southeastern states will be seasonably warm over the next few days. Highs in the upper 70s and 80s will occur often in the Midwest, while in the middle 80s through the 90s occur in the southernmost parts of the plains, delta, and southeastern states. U.S. Midwest temperatures will cool off later this week, with below average readings likely during the end of the week, the weekend, and early into midweek next week. High temperatures in the 70s will occur often during the cooler biased period, followed by lows in the 50s and 60s, with a few upper 40s in the north. You're listening listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois. Good afternoon, Chip.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Wheat very much is the leader to the upside today.
It was, and I think a couple things there. At the lows last week, we held a trend line drawn off the two previous lows. That held, and then you started higher. And I think today also you saw some spread unwinding where, you know, beans led us higher late last week and yesterday. And I think you saw some unwinding of long bean short corn positions today and long bean short wheat positions. And then obviously with the rains that we've seen in the plains, you know, harvest behind schedule there, only 19% harvested versus about 31% on average, and Kansas is way behind as well, only 8% harvested in Kansas. So slow start to harvest, you know, had the funds covering their shorts today. And, you know, we've had about three or four pokes up here towards this 200-day moving average over the last couple of months, haven't been able to close above it. It's about, 8 cents above us. So if we can get a close, say, over 535 on July Chicago this week, it would look really good and probably bring about a lot more short covering into the wheat market.
And maybe signal a bottom in that wheat market as well?
Absolutely. If you could see that, I think you could then talk about a long-term bottom being in place.
Soybeans have very much been the leader to the upside over the last several trading sessions, and today they actually made a charge toward the Fibonacci retracement before backing off. And I suppose it's probably going to be a little bit disappointing to the bull because of corn's move up and that also that wheat move up, that soybeans did not have a good day, really.
Yeah, I think a couple things there. At the highs today, actually it was, I guess, the overnight trading session, we came really close, within a penny or so, both on the July beans and November beans of the 200-day moving average. That seemed to stop us. The talk from the floor was that we uncovered some decent South American-type farmer pricing after this big rally that we've seen. So, you know, not surprising to see a little bit of a pause after a big run higher over the last 2 weeks in beans. But we're kind of in no-man's land here. You know, yesterday and then again overnight, we kind of broke out of a downtrend, a trend line, but fell short of the 200-day moving average and closed right about in the middle of that. So we're, you know, a little bit in no man's land here on the beans, waiting for the next move. And again, you know, I think you got to talk about a close above today's highs, and particularly the 200-day moving average that's right above us as well, that, you know, in order to see a continuing leg higher in these beans, we're going to have to, you know, see those funds take us above that 200-day moving average and get excited about getting along this crop.
Fundamentally, what do you think this move represents in terms of supply side on the soybeans?
Well, I think with all the rains we've seen and crop conditions backing off a little bit, that's, you know, kind of fundamentally the reason here. But, you know, the issue is we're not going to know what the end result of all these rains have been until harvest. So, you know, yes, we've probably taken some of the topside out of yield potential on this crop and the beans that were planted. Obviously, there's a lot of beans left to plant, especially in Missouri. And if they do get in the ground at all, you got to expect that they're going to have reduced yield potential there. So, you know, the problem is it's not going to be immediately known. We're going to have to kind of debate this in the market for, you know, several more months and maybe even get into harvest and beyond to figure out exactly what the size of this crop is.
So when you go look at what good value is for soybeans for marketing at this point, what kind of number are you using? Are you using like a 44 bushels to the acre number?
Yeah, I think you have to start assuming 44 to 45. Again, it's going to be a moving target to see what the USDA does on like the July and, more importantly, the August crop reports. And what direction they start moving those yields. But, yeah, the 46 number with as much rain that has been out there, especially in the eastern Corn Belt, hard to think that we've got a 46-bushel bean crop or higher, so you have to start ratcheting those opinions down. I don't think it's a disaster yet, but for sure, at least in our opinion, we've taken the top end potential out of this, both the corn and the bean yields right now.
And as wet as it's been in May and in June, you know, don't you think it likely that USDA, when they give us their acreage report at the end of July, is going to say stand by for some revision in August?
Well, I would think so, and that's been part of my frustration the last 2 or 3 years. Of course, you know, the last 3 years we've had really late springs, but you know, there's always been a little bit of discrepancy there between, especially in late planted years. You know, what's the prevent plant numbers? Can we integrate that those crop insurance, you know, acreage reporting numbers into final yield? So that's a work in progress, and unfortunately, I think this June 30th acreage report probably isn't that great of information. It was taken the first week in June, and a lot has changed since that point in time, and a lot of rain has been seen. So there almost has to be some sort of a resurvey or, you know, some better acreage prevent planning reporting than what we've seen the last couple of years. This market's going to be really confused about acreage, maybe up all the way to the January crop report.
And just like soybeans, don't you think in the corn we can put away talk of 166?
Boy, I would sure think so. Absolutely. I know that there's parts of Iowa and Minnesota that are really good, maybe best ever at this stage, but just the sheer amount of rainfall that we've seen in the eastern Corn Belt, I think you got to think that we've taken the top end off. You know, most farmers, due to cost, have cut back this year on fertilizer. There's a lot of crop that needs sprayed. We've probably lost nitrogen. So, absolutely, I think, 166 is going to be really hard to achieve. But again, you know, the market's going to really debate that for the next 2 or 3 months, maybe even well past harvest, as to what did all these rains do to the top end of our yield. So it makes these July and August crop reports all the more important as to see what the USDA thinks as well as they get out there and start surveying.
Thank you, Chip.
Thanks, Dave.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Yesterday afternoon, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending June 21st. Crop conditions across the U.S. look like this. For corn, good to excellent, 71%, down 2 percentage points from a week ago. Fair, 23%, poor, 5%, and very poor, 1%. Soybean conditions, good to excellent, 65%, down 2 percentage points from last week. Fair, 27%, poor, 6%, and very poor, 2%. Hard red winter wheat harvested, 19% versus 11% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 31%.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The Prairie State had another wet week with an average of 3.61 inches of rain across the state. That total is more than 2.5 inches above normal rainfall for the week. Many locations were several inches above normal precip for the week. In southern Illinois, some rainfall totals were more than 5 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture is now rated 1% short, 43% adequate, and 56% surplus. Subsoil moisture is rated as 3% short, 54% adequate, and 43% surplus. Because of rain throughout the week, field work was severely limited. Soybean planting inched up to 91% complete, compared to 96% 1 year ago and 96% for the five-year average. Soybeans emerged reached 88%, slightly behind the five-year average of 90%. The condition of the crop was rated 10% very poor to poor, 30% fair, and 60% good to excellent. The corn crop is rated 7% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 70% good to excellent. There were scattered reports of corn tasseling in the central and west southwest parts of the state. Winter wheat harvest moved up 2 points to 3% complete, compared to 17% 1 year ago and 29% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Persistent heavy rains and strong winds left many corn, soybean, and wheat fields in standing water. Average temperatures ranged from 69 to 80 degrees and from 2 degrees below to 9 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 1.24 to 7.89 inches with a statewide average of 4.0 inches. Winter wheat was 5% harvested this week compared to 11% last year and 20% 5-year average. Soybeans emerged was 90% complete compared to 90% last year and 88% 5-year average. Flooding was more widespread and soil moisture surpluses grew across the state while condition ratings declined, though the full effects of the nitrogen loss and missed pest and weed control opportunities won't be known for some time. Many corn and soybean fields already show signs of distress, such as poor color and lodging. Mature wheat left standing was vulnerable to weather and disease, and damage and lodging were reported. Replanting of soybeans remains in question as the insurance date is passed. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 21st, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 21st, 2015. Wet conditions continued to slow field activities throughout much of Iowa during the week ending June 21st, 2015. Statewide, there were 3.5 days suitable for field work. Excessive moisture was preventing some farmers from controlling weeds and applying nitrogen. Wet fields in southwest and south-central Iowa continued to prevent farmers from finishing their planting. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 0.6 degrees below normal, although much of southwest and south-central Iowa averaged a little warmer than normal. Weekly rain totals varied from only 0.04 inches at Battle Creek in Ida County to 4.45 inches at Bellevue. The statewide average precipitation was 1.40 inches, while normal for the week is 1.17 inches. Topsoil moisture levels remained at 98% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 97% adequate to surplus. 83% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 95% complete, 19 days behind 2014 and 4 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean emergence reached 90%, slightly behind normal. Soybean condition rated 80% good to excellent this week. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Bob Greeno with the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending June 21st. Rains fell across all of Missouri again this past week, much from the remnants of Tropical Storm Bill, which dropped rain in a large band across the state. Totals of 4 to 6 inches of rain were common. Just 1.9 days were suitable for field work on average across Missouri. Soybean planting progressed by 9 percentage points to 51% complete, 37 points behind average. Temperatures were 1 to 2 degrees warmer than normal in most areas of the state. Corn planting was 94% complete, 6 points behind the 5-year average for this time of year. 91% of corn was emerged, 8 points behind average. Corn condition was rated 4% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 45% good, and 6% excellent. In the Northwest District, corn condition was rated 36% very poor to poor. Soybean planting was 51% complete, up 9 points from the previous week, but 37 points behind average. 40% of soybeans were emerged, compared to an average of 78%. Soybean condition was rated 4% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 45% good, and 6% excellent. Winter wheat was 12% harvested compared to an average of 44%. This is Bob Greeno with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for our look at the energy market is Dan O'Brien, Extension Agricultural Economist at Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hello, Dave.
Well, ethanol has had the best of it, well, for I don't know, seems like a half a year or so. The margins have been good. They've been grinding like crazy. But it seems like maybe this week they got a 1-2 punch and it might have them rethinking things. And that is in countries in Brazil is one of them, right?
Yes. What's allowed us to go and keep production here domestically above some of the more, I guess, what the industry would think of as the more limiting or leveling of the renewable fuel standard has been the strength of our exports. And we've been able to export to parts of northern Brazil, northeastern Brazil in particular. And that's been a pressure, I guess you might call it a pressure release valve for us, allow us to keep the plants running and utilize our low-cost corn. Well, here just within the last week, Brazil has made a deliberate policy move to basically tax ethanol at just under 12%, and concerning. I would think to U.S. ethanol traders whereas we've been able to keep our plants moving because of the extra export business we've had now, there's every prospect that will at least be slowed down, if not eliminated. We'll see how it all works out, but that's a major concern. And I think when you look at ethanol prices of late here, we've been kind of moving or drifting to the lower side here, about $1.52 per gallon here of late, so we haven't seen a major hit yet on that, but there certainly are concerns as to where all this could go. Of course, we've been some of the strength of summer driving demand has been helpful. We've seen RBOB futures continue to run strongly to the higher side, continuing a trend basically since the first of the year. But over the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, we have seen ethanol drift to the lower side. So in balance, I guess we'll take the gallons of sales through the plants and see where we can go. Our latest profitability estimates, Dave, are about that plants are covering costs, not by a lot, by about 3 cents per gallon so far in June. One thing that's working against that is rumblings coming out of China and some cancellations of distillers' grain sales from the U.S. So, again, in that profit equation that ethanol plants are always balancing, you know, selling ethanol, bringing in corn, and also selling the distillers' grains, this is something that could weaken the distillers' grains aspect of their profitability equation and ultimately end up and take us to the negative side if we don't see ethanol prices themselves actually strengthen. So it's something that we'll surely be watching.
In about 30 seconds, I have a quick question. Does that make the potential for those stored RINs seem more attractive in the second half of the year?
It's possible. You know, I think we will just have to see how the market finally works itself out. And we have lots of corn. That's no problem. And it'll probably be pretty cheap unless we get a surprise. So we'll either use RINs or we'll use cheap corn or whatever we have to do to work our way through to the end of here in 2015.
Thank you much, Dan.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Take care. That's Dan O'Brien, Extension Ag Economist at Kansas State University in Colby, Kansas. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's National Pecan Sandy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1857, William Kelly is issued a U.S. patent for manufacturing of iron and steel. He invented the air blast method of forming steel from iron. His initial goal was to reduce the amount of fuel required for iron and steel making because of the immense amount of timber required to make the charcoal. But Kelly saw little financial gain from his idea. He went bankrupt in 1857 and was forced to sell his patent. In 1868, Christopher Nathan Scholes of Wisconsin
patented a mechanical writing machine called a typewriter. It was as large as a desk made of black walnut and had black and white keys. He signed a deal with the Remington Arms Company for its manufacture in 1873. It was Remington who turned it into a more practical machine. In 1937, Nicholas Shackleton was born, an English geologist. He helped identify carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas by demonstrating that the fall of the ice ages was linked to decreases in atmospheric carbon dioxide. He also warned that excessive emissions of carbon dioxide could lead to global warming. By the way, during his lifetime, he amassed the world's largest collection of clarinets. And in 1982, a record low temperature of minus 117 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded at the South Pole. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey is an organization whose roots run deep, financing agricultural needs for over 145 years, helping serve the agribusiness needs of landowners and investors for generations to come. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, it is a little bit drier today, but I'm afraid it's not going to last very long.
Well, it doesn't look like it. We're still going to be struggling in many areas of the Corn Belt and Midwest with temperatures that are still going to be wanting to trend a little cooler than normal. And we're going to see some shower and thunderstorm activity. We've been in a pattern where thunderstorms develop into the Dakotas, then they slide southeast into the Midwest and Corn Belt, and we're going to see that again as we get into tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, and into Thursday. And a lot of the same areas that were impacted by the heavy rain and thunderstorms over the last 24 hours will be the same areas that will likely get rained on again.
So that means localized flooding in places like southern Illinois, southern Indiana?
Well, I would say the bigger concern I have right now is why those areas are going to get rain. It looks like this next back shower and thunderstorm activity may be heaviest across the northern parts of Indiana, central and eastern Iowa, then across central and northern Indiana into southern Michigan.
You are out west, so you have a pretty good handle on the wheat crop. What are you hearing about quality?
Well, very good. The spring precipitation that really ramped up in April, and the above-normal precipitation that came into May and carried forward into early June has led to some very good conditions. Now, problem is, in some areas, as we get close to harvest, is whether or not it's going to dry out in times, as a lot of fields are still quite wet.
Turn your attention to El Nino and project how it might play out the balance of the summer.
Well, for the summer season, what tends to happen with El Nino is you don't have the impacts of El Nino in the summer as much as we will in the fall and the winter. But it has led, at least in the late spring and early summer season, to enhanced precipitation in the central southern Rockies, those central and the southern plains. And some of the impacts will continue to impact those areas in the middle to the end of July with enhanced precipitation. But it's going to be later in this year and into early 2016 when the bigger impacts of El Nino will be shown.
Do you see anything on the horizon that might be a trend changer for the cooler and wet bias that we've seen thus far this spring, summer? Maybe does it turn drier and warmer into July?
Well, I think for a lot of July, we're still not going to see any extended period of real heat, and precipitation chances are still going. Where I see it getting warmer and drier, it's going to be on the back end of summer. As we get into August, September, it doesn't look as cool. So we're going to have to count on that time frame to get the crops to maturity, because I think July is still going to frustrate many.
So that's not good for corn, but it might be helpful for soybeans.
I believe so.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.